to Zen Denizens.
Hey everyone, this is Caitlin again, your Sark. I am sitting here with Chaplain Yi.
Hello.
Today we are going to be discussing how our chaplain resources can possibly provide assistance with the Sapper program. So, Chaplain Yi, I just wanted to kind of start because your confidentiality is a little bit different than how the Sapper program is, where we have like limitations where if there's child abuse or harm to others or themselves involved, or even elderly abuse, we have to report those. And that's like past that, though. If there's none of that involved, then we do have some level of confidentiality. But I know the chaplains have a little more flexibility, but...
Yes, that's right. Again, I'm so honored to be here with you guys. Yeah. And, you know, again, this month is such an important month. You know, this breaks my heart that this... continues on, you know, this sexual assault and harassment. And so, yeah, being here with you and providing resources and talking about this is an honor. So thank you for inviting me. With our confidentiality, we have something where we just call it 100% confidentiality, which is that whatever someone shares with us, no matter what it is, no matter how dangerous or hurtful to themselves or others, that is something we can't share. And that even, what that eventually means, that we're not mandated reporters, that if someone shares something with us, we're not mandated to report. But obviously, if someone's coming to us, they're coming for someone to listen to them, and hopefully we can direct them to get the help they need, maybe even walking with them, and hopefully convincing them about finding certain resources. So we, in some ways, provide empathy and counseling, but the hope is to bring guidance to where they need to go. And sometimes that will be to you as a SARC. Other times it will be to a mental health DPH or to another resource. And so that's something that is nice to have, you know, to have that 100% confidentiality, because some people don't know what to share or how much they should share. So with us, they can really share as much as they want. And what they share is all in their own power for us to share. We can't share anything. Even if the President of the United States says, "What did you hear?" We can't share that. We won't share it. Now, that's for chaplains. Now, in the chaplain corps, there's enlisted side. They're called Religious Affairs Airmen. And they, in the state of Massachusetts, in Title 32 on DS drill weekends, they are mandated reporters. So if you feel like, hey, you want to talk about something sensitive around this topic, a chaplain would probably be the safest bet. So that's our confidentiality.
Okay, so like if someone goes to the, you said a religious...
Affairs airman? Yeah, an enlisted person, yes.
If they were to come to them and say they were sexually assaulted, they would have to report it? Or they still have that confidentiality where they would recommend they come to you or me?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, the mandated report is more with child abuse or elder abuse.
Okay.
Yes, it's one mandated report under those two areas. So,
okay. So they have basically the same limitations that I would have. And then they can help get those resources as well.
Right.
Okay. So, could you, go a little more in depth over who exactly is a chaplain so people can put a face to the name or a name the title?
Definitely. So there's myself as a chaplain, Ryan Yi. So I'm here full time and here to help anyone in need. And so I have that 100% confidentiality. And there's a chaplain Lyons, Kelsey Lyons. She's a drill status, but she also has that 100% confidentiality. And basically any officer that's a chaplain will have that 100% confidentiality. Now, again, like I said, in the chaplain corps, we're composed of officers and enlisted. And so if you see someone who's an enlisted person, and we call that career field religious affairs airmen, they would be a mandated reporter. And so those are the two kind of extra chaplains that who also have that confidentiality. Myself, Chaplain Lyons, or the Father Colarusso. And again, we're hoping to bring on more chaplains in the next year or so.
Okay, yeah, that's exciting. I know that that's been kind of a push that you guys have had for a while now. So for like outside resources, let's say someone doesn't want to use the Sapper program. Are you familiar with different outside resources where you could help someone, like Independence House or something like that? Or would you just do like a, hey, Caitlin, what are some of the outside resources you work with? Would that be something that you would do or...
I mean, for myself personally, you know, I would probably come to you I know we had an incident at one point a few months ago where I just really felt I wanted to talk to you about it. And that was really helpful for me, as well as the person who needed help. And so when I look for outside resources, I look to you. I know some resources from where I live up in Quincy, the Boston area, if someone wanted a non-military route. But since we're here usually on base and people are related to the military, you know, I know I have some limitations and I want to go to the experts. And in this case, it would be you. So I'm still learning more of the resources out there, but I think I'd always want to keep in the loop. Now, if someone didn't want to go through the SARC here, I remember we have a monthly gathering. I think it's called the Military Community Advocacy or something network that Ms. Faye helps lead. And I know there's an organization that also does some sexual assault, child abuse type of services as well. And so thankfully I have their card. I know them as well. And so those are some outside resources that I know of. And, you know, thankfully I also know a lot of police officers and, you know, asking their thoughts and help and resources as well.
Okay. Yeah. So you're a pretty good resource as well if someone wasn't as familiar with the SAPR program, or at least a good point of contact to start with and kind of spread out from there. For like, let's say someone comes to you and they're a different religion and they want a specific religion, how would you go about like kind of helping them connect with their particular beliefs?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is kind of now my wheelhouse, you know, which is around people's spirituality and their religious faith. And again, I think first, you know, if someone came to me and, you know, I would try to learn and ask questions, be curious about what happened. But also if it started going around, you know, religious beliefs, asking what their religious beliefs are. You know, obviously there's some major ones like Christianity and within that Catholicism and Protestantism. But there's obviously other religions and Muslim and Hindu, and they approach the body, they approach purity, they approach shame in different ways. And I think the nice thing is that they all deal with it, right? And there's different various ways how they deal with shame. Like, for example, in some religions, you know, sacrifice an animal, or you know, do certain rituals to feel pure again, you know? But I think for me, it'd be first learning about asking them what their religious faith would say about it. Because some people might know well, some people might not. But again, I think that part is actually really important. I'm glad you brought it up because, as you know, with a lot of these situations, these incidences, they're not just a physical harm that happens, but there's an emotional and even spiritual thing about their identity, about where was God, why is this happening? What did I do wrong? Did I do something wrong before? Did I deserve this? And these are deep questions that both mental health, but also chaplains or religious figures and religious communities can help with, you know? And unfortunately, in the past, there are situations where some religious institutions have done more harm. And that's not something that I'm here to do, or any of the chaplains are here to do, because we know how important faith is for many people and how that can help heal people. But it also, if not done the right way, can bring harm. And so, but for me, always learning about where they're coming from. I'll never make assumptions. All I know is that they're a human being who deserves love, dignity, and care. And from there, learning what they actually need and going from there. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we've seen a lot of progress, not just in our civilization, but like with religion, where it's moved forward to trying to be more helpful than harmful.
Right.
Which is why I always think that the chaplains are are an important piece, especially if someone was to have that religious side that they may be either questioning now, or maybe they're turning to religion to kind of help them through this trauma that they've gone through.
Right.
So it's really great to have you all here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So I know at times when people come to my program, we don't really have a limitation on how long they can participate in the program, as long as they're still still a part of the military. So like SAPR services, if they came and did a restricted report, it would be open until they either A, got out of the military, or they said, hey, I don't need services anymore, you can go ahead and close my case. How does that work with the chaplain program and like your counseling and services you provide?
Yeah, no, I think the for us, you know, counseling is one of our most important responsibilities. You know, we get training in it. You know, I've worked as a hospital chaplain at Brigham and Women's for a little bit of time, and so the counseling that I provide is something that's also continuous. You know, I don't really have an end limit to it. Especially if someone feels comfortable with me, you know. I think, you know, I've gotten counseling, so I'm a big fan of counseling. But I also think counseling is not the end all of things, you know. Mm-hmm. Counseling is there for a purpose, and there are limitations to it. So I think for myself, and to find a counselor is actually quite difficult. I remember when I was looking for one, it took me a long time to find. Ultimately, I've seen studies that the best way that people find healing through counseling is not from someone who has like a more degrees or someone who has more experience. It just, does the person who needs help feel cared for? Do you feel loved? You know, that's the most important part. So for when you're looking for counseling, I tell a lot of people who are searching for counseling that to find someone where you just feel loved. You know, maybe they make you uncomfortable, whatever, that or challenge you. That's all okay. It just you feel they care about you. You know, and importantly, I think a lot of counseling now, which this is kind of a side topic, is like more about, you know, about how you feel and kind of more like enabling a little bit. You know, and I think you want to find a counselor that cares about you, that both is there for you, wants to hear you, support you, but also is there to also challenge you sometimes, you know? Because I started to believe more in this phrase, when there's no struggle, there's no growth, you know? In general, I'm not saying all the time. And so sometimes it's good for a counselor to give you a tough challenge or ask you to do something maybe that you don't want to do. Again, all appropriate levels of things. And so because I know it's so hard to find a counselor, if someone comes to me, I first know like how much of an honor it is, you know? Every person who comes to me and says, hey, chaplain, I want to chat, like, I know that they could have first not talked to anyone, or secondly, gone to anyone else. But for some reason, they came to me. And most people come to me because they kind of knew me. They saw me speak somewhere, or I provided some Chick-fil-A lunch at some point or something. And they just like, oh, I kind of know that person. I feel a little comfortable, so I'll go to him. And so if they want to keep meeting with me, I'm all for it. You know, again, I feel that's an honor to receive someone's heart and vulnerability to me. But there might be a point, again, that I feel like, hey, maybe there's not much more I can do for them. They might need more medication, so they might have to see a psychiatrist, or they might need someone who's more specialty, or maybe like our time together brings a lot of healing and they don't need to meet with me anymore. Maybe we start changing the rhythms up. So there is no set kind of scheduling, at least a counseling with me at least. And, you know, since I work in the 102nd ISR group, you know, the easiest way to kind of get a hold of me is usually through email, you know, or call me. You know, you can see a lot of my signs hopefully around, but emailing is probably the best. And then if we schedule a time together, we can meet at various locations. I actually have two offices, one here at building 170. Yeah, here in the main building, there's a chaplain office, and then in the 102nd ISR group. And there, if we have an appointment set up, you know, I'll just meet you at the door because you kind of have that access to come in. But again, there's two places of confidentiality that could happen to meet with me. So yeah.
Okay. Are you allowed to like meet people off base and stuff, or is it more you stick to on base?
Yeah. I mean, there are people I talk to on the phone, you know, again, it's about what their comfort level. I can meet people off base, you know, and again, it's about meeting people where they're at, you know, because some people, I mean, there's one person I talked with once and they didn't want to meet on base because that they just felt unsafe being on base, you know? And so I met them at a Dunkin' Donuts, you know? And so, again, I'm trying to meet people where they're at, just like you are. So, yeah.
Oh yeah. We travel all over the place. Mm. We could go and meet someone if they wanted us to out in Springfield or at Hanscom. Like we have offices all over the state, which I'm sure you're able to do that with other chaplains throughout the state, or
we have different chaplains. We have two chaplains out in Western Mass at the 104th who are DSGs, but again, chaplains, we're kind of always on standby. That's what we're here to do, you know. If we didn't want to do that, then we wouldn't be chaplains. So but yeah, so we have different resources. Again, I live up more near Boston and Quincy. Obviously, I work down here at Otis, and then Chaplain Lyons is in the Boston area, Father Colarusso is in the Boston area, and then we got two guys covering the western side. And you know, worst case, we also have army chaplains. They're not good as us, but you know, they're helpful, and they also have confidentiality as well. So
okay, so you can do either army or air.
That's right, with confidentiality. Your program,
just that's like right. we can too. Okay, so that's good to know. Is there anything else you'd like to add about your program? I think this has been incredibly informative. I know I've learned a couple things today didn't know before.
No, I just want to say to those who are listening now or in the future that, you know, when we think about sexual assault and sexual abuse, I've been a pastor for many years and in ministry for many years. And, you know, I think one of the things I want to say is just I'm so sorry, because I feel like the church, if you grew up in the church, a Catholic church, a Christian church, Protestant church, that the church has failed. You know, leadership has failed. A lot of people who have been harmed. I think about the Catholic priest scandal that's happened in Boston and how much harm that caused, how much people lost faith, not only in God, but in church and in people. And, you know, I think there's still a lot of healing that has to come from it. And, you know, on behalf of someone who, you know, wants to follow God, love God, help others love God, I ask forgiveness, you know, that people have gone through that, you know, whether something you went through personally or you know someone who went through that. When you think about God, you think about the church, it's supposed to be one where people feel, are supposed to get joy and love and acceptance and growth. And the opposite happened in those situations. And I know God himself, if you look in the Bible, Jesus himself, the people he was angry at the most weren't, you know, people who were sinners. It was those religious people who thought they were all holy and mighty, but were acting out of evil and selfishness and self-righteousness. So I hope you're able to forgive, God, as well as find healing. And again, if that's talking with me or talking with, Caitlin and other people in the office. My prayer is that everyone gets healthier and happier, and if I can be part of that, I'd be really happy about that as well.
Well, thank you for coming out. We really appreciate it, and we like to support your program. If you have like podcasts or anything, you're welcome to invite us on as well. And we appreciate everything you do.
Thank you so much, Caitlin.